Welcome, everyone, to the Bovada at Odds podcast. I'm Seth Everett. The head odds maker at BovadaSportsbook.com is Patrick Morrow. And Patrick, I don't know if you, I'm not trying to stay away from it, but I can't believe we are a couple of games away from the World Series, and I had to look up who's playing.
Don't spoil it for me, Seth, because I don't even know who's in it. I don't know any of the four teams. I think the Phillies. Just because my Twitter has gotten a little stupid with Phillies fans showboating. And yes, I know they're there, but otherwise, I don't know.
Well, you know, baseball's hoping for an Astros-Phillies. That's what baseball wants. That's the biggest markets and the storylines. You know, Bryce Harper is still a star, and he's playing extremely well. And Houston is still a magnet for eyeballs, even though they are, you know, a lot of people associate them still with cheating. And, you know, I take personal offense to that. Dusty Baker brought in, he got rid of everybody who was associated with that shenanigan. And he brought some class to the joint. And his success is their success. And I don't see it, but there are plenty of people who'll be like, ah, the Astros again, those cheaters. That's what they're going to do. And, you know, at the time of this recording, Texas is up big. They're up 2-0 going home. Tonight is game three. We shall see what happens with Texas. And then for the Phillies against the Diamondbacks, just if baseball could fix a series, they want the Phillies in. Because if it's Arizona against Texas, I'll quote the great author Jeff Perlman, who said on Twitter about 2 weeks ago, if it's Texas-Arizona, there'll be seven people who watch that World Series.
Yeah, and you know what, Seth? Major League Baseball's not doing themselves any favor by having... I think the ALCS started Sunday night against Sunday Night Football.
Well, not only that, last but night, they took 3 days off because all those series were sweeps.
Yeah, I mean...
Where one series was four games. Well, let me just never let the facts get in the way of a good argument.
Well, nevertheless, I mean, they would have been tough going against college football on Saturday as well, but baseball can do a little bit better against college football than it can do against NFL, but just nobody can compete against the NFL. So you put the ALCS, you have these teams in that aren't the, you know, the massive stars.
Yeah, but what's
the hoping.
Alternative? You can't move it up. You can't move it up because you don't know that those series are going to be sweeps, and they sell those time slots to the networks.
Yeah,
the networks have a vote in putting these series on at those times. So the competition amongst them, to me, the problem is there's been no flow to this. Every series in the wild card round was a sweep. So there was a chunk of time off. Then the NLDS hit. Only one of those series went four games. And then on top of that, you had more chunk of time to these LCS. It has been the snooze fest.
Well, yeah, so there's that. There hasn't been any compelling storylines to the game themselves, but I don't know what the chicken and egg situation is here, but it's just, yeah, I'm not in. I'm not interested. I don't know any of my friends that are really interested in the games, unless it's from a betting angle. And oh boy, with NBA back next week, good luck, baseball. Good luck, baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing, you know, we've talked a lot on this podcast about relocation and stadiums and ownership and things like that. And, you know, I'm on record as saying, you know, 20 years ago, the Oakland Coliseum was a dump. And there's a talk that the Oakland A's are going to move to Las Vegas. There's a relief pitcher for Oakland. They were awful this year. They lost 100 games. They were just brutal. This guy, Trevor May, retired. He announced his retirement on Monday. And Trevor May, first of all, I thought you'd think this is pretty cool. He announced his retirement on Twitch.
I mean, cool. He cool, didn't do it on right? The live football sit. He didn't do it on the Live Football Sims channel, which is the only channel I follow on Twitch, unless Seth Everett's doing Amazon Prime NFL games. Yeah, those are the only two that Pat Morrow follows. But I didn't see
Trevor
the announcement
May,
because
yeah. And then,
you know what? My favorite Norm Macdonald joke. He goes, "Oh, you know, he's on with Conan and Courtney Thorne Smith," and you know, Conan says to him, like, "Oh, what do you mean you weren't watching us?" Because he was talking about another talk show, and Norm goes, "Well, I wasn't on that night, so you know, if it's not me and it's not Seth Everett, I don't care what you're doing on Twitch." So I don't know. Good for Trevor May.
Trevor May took the opportunity. Well, why don't we play the clip?
For those of you that don't know, I was drafted at 18 years old. I'm now 34 years old, 16 seasons, 10 major league seasons, and I am officially announcing my retirement from professional baseball. Now that it's official, to the A's organization and every single person part of it, I love all of you. Every single one of you, except for one guy. We all know who that guy is. Sell the team, dude. I tried to get a sell shirt. It didn't get here fast enough. Sell it, man. Let someone who actually like takes pride in the things they own something. There's actually people who give a shit about the game. Let them do it. Take mommy and daddy's money somewhere else, dork.
Ooh. Coming in heavy with the dork at the end as well.
Yeah.
I hope he's sincere about his retirement.
No, I think he is, yeah. But I love that he did it on Twitch, and I love he would never do that at a press conference. Plus, they wouldn't have a press conference for Trevor May retiring. Good for Trevor May. I wish him the best. If he wants to come on the Bovada at Odds podcast, now that would be a great guest. 50 and 112, the A's.
I've changed my mind, and maybe there's a third Twitch stream. There's room for that in my life going forward. So good for him. And you know what? Yeah, you know, I almost cursed because that's how I feel about the Oakland A's. So we'll just say F that ownership group because they are terrible. They've been terrible to the fans. They've been terrible to the fans for a very long time. There is a passionate group of Oakland Athletics fans that care about this team, but they have just been treated so terribly by ownership for as long as I can remember, for as long as I've been following baseball. And
there's new owners. This guy, John Fisher, his parents founded the Gap.
Mm-hmm. Well, new owners, same problem though, right? Like
no,
old
no,
ownership.
No, but what they say that's the mommy and daddy's money. Like, it's not even his money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are legacy owners. You know, hey, Mark Davis. So hey, he'll have good company when they go to Vegas with Mark Davis and the Raiders. That's right. That's a couple of kids right there who did absolutely nothing in life to earn their lot. But so he'll fit in really well. Vegas, that's a good found money town. So that's fitting for those two owners.
Speaking of dysfunctional franchises, I cannot believe we're doing this much baseball.
Why not?
The Miami Marlins wanted to hire a president of baseball operations and have them rule over the general manager. Their general manager was Kim Ng, the highest ranking woman in a major men's North American professional sports office. She'd been the GM since November of 2020. Highest ranking woman in all of sports. And she quit because she said they want to undermine my authority, not let me do the job. I'm out of here.
So that's what I heard, right? They're bringing someone else in that would on paper be under her, but also have all her responsibilities or something, right?
Yeah, so she did an interview with the Athletic, and she said that it became apparent that we were not completely aligned on what that new baseball operations department should look like. I felt it best to step away. I wish to express my sincere gratitude and appreciation to the Marlins family and its fans, all five of them. That's paraphrasing. this was a great step forward. They made the playoffs, by the way. I mean, the wild card round, but they made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's another team that I wasn't aware was in the Major League Baseball playoffs for as brief as it was. But yeah, it's, you know, it's tough because I think when you see you know, someone like her get an opportunity like that, you know, there's the stuff that you know, you get excited about, you know, the breaking through of the glass ceiling, and you know, this is another bright non-traditional person in this spot, let's see what they can bring to the table. And I think there's been a lot of people that have had success in those roles, and just unfortunately it had to be an organization like the Marlins that she ended up getting shacked up with. And you know, I we're railing against bad clubs and bad owners today. And I mean, my gosh, the Miami Marlins have been neck and neck with the Oakland A's for just running
dysfunction.
Dysfunction, bare minimum, salaries and front office costs. Like, it's, it's like they're playing baseball under protest every single season with the way they run their teams. And I couldn't imagine being a fan of either of them. And, good for Kim for getting out of a situation like that. Better off for her to leave with her head held high than to, take some kind of accommodation like that that would see her role greatly diminished relative to what her role is actually supposed to be. So
yeah, good for her.
She's
going to resurface. I mean, she was the assistant general manager for the Yankees for years. That's where I met her. She was under Brian Cashman. And when Derek Jeter became the CEO of the Marlins, he hired her. Or he had a hand in hiring her. I don't know if he did it point blank, but that was because he knew her from that time. She also, I think, worked for the Dodgers. She'll work again. She's a brilliant baseball mind. She can't explain all the, the fact that nobody watches it anymore, but that's neither here nor there. Sorry, I had to get that last little dig in. What happened to the sports book when the New York Jets beat the Philadelphia Eagles?
Oh man, just imagine, like sirens and bells and whistles and horns and high fives and all that kind of stuff, because no one cries for the sports book. But it had been a kind of lean September, leaning into October in terms of the football results so far. And my gosh, when the Jets pulled it off the way they did, that Jets defense, first of all, my God, if they just had a replacement level QB, they'd be playoff contenders. They've done what they did. They hung with the Chiefs. They hung with the Eagles, ultimately knocked them off. They're really, really top five good on one side of the ball, but they are bottom five good on offense. And I mean, it's tough because they're kind of stuck in the middle at 3-3 now, where you think, oh, maybe we can do it with Zach Wilson. But no, this is the time where at 3-3, your season's still salvageable. You still should be making a trade. You can't wait until you lose two or three more games and Zach Wilson continues to stink it up. You go, okay, maybe we need to make a change. They should make that change now. But at the sports book, we were happy to survive another Zach Wilson day. Jets was good. Overall, it was our best weekend of September and October. So of the football season so far, massive, massive result.
It was very exciting. And, both the unbeaten teams, the Niners also lost, just wasn't as dramatic. And Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers showed what Aaron Rodgers is. I don't know. We can get into this. He can't keep his mouth shut. First of all, he went on this Pat McAfee show and he started talking about the vaccine. And he started making fun of Travis Kelce, who is a spokesperson for, I believe it's Pfizer. He kept calling him Mr. Pfizer. And they were he wanted to challenge him to a debate. And Aaron Rodgers literally says, I'll get RFK Jr. and we'll debate Travis Kelce and Fauci. And all I was saying, what are you proving? You can believe your gobbledygook. You can believe whatever that goddamn stuff you want. Shut up. Stop. McAfee, don't put that irresponsible crap out in the media.
I mean, even just at a base level entertainment point, I couldn't think of anything less interesting than seeing Aaron Rodgers debate Travis Kelce about the COVID shot. So, I think what's worse than, what his comments actually are, just the whole thing is so boring to me. Yeah. I get it. You didn't take it. You didn't like it. You didn't want it. That is your choice. We're far past that in 2023. And now you're just the risk of a bad pun. Like, you're needling the issue again. I think it's just bad television. I think it's uninteresting television. And I'm curious about just the quality of Aaron Rodgers as a guest anyways, because he's otherwise, like, he's not a charismatic guy. He's not an overly interesting kind of guy, aside from the stuff that he actually does. But to hear him speak, I've never been enthralled by an Aaron Rodgers, statement or monologue or anything like that. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's cringy to go that route with Kelce. Kelce's just doing his thing. And he's, as the kids would say, living their best life right now, hanging with the Chiefs, hanging with Taylor Swift, going to Jets games to support his brother. I mean, who's having a better time than Travis Kelce right now? And for Aaron Rodgers,
good for him. Right.
It just comes off as just really petty, really kind of. But it is weird that McAfee is paying guests, though. That's weird. I don't see too much of that.
All right, let's take a look at the week in sports, the week in football. There's a marquee matchup. Let's just, ignore the elephant in the room. A marquee matchup at Lincoln Financial Field, the Miami Dolphins visiting the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia coming off that loss to the Jets. Miami seemingly comes in as hot as they can be, and that game seems to be as close as it can be. Has the chance to be a gem.
Yeah, Seth, this one is the game of the week, bar none. I hope it lives up to the hype, but these are two teams that there's very little not to like about either of them. Eagles and Sirianni, incredible team, but incredible coaching staff, really, really bright analytical stuff. They were bright against the Jets to let Breece Hall score on the weekend to try and give themselves some more time. And on the other side of the ball with the Dolphins, Mike McDonald. They are insanely good, insanely, insanely good. They do all things the right way. Offensively, they're really, really good. I mean, Tyreek Hill took the top off the defense more than a couple times past Sunday. They went down early 14-0 against Carolina, but rallied with ease for a blowout win. This might be, similar to when they played the Bills a few weeks ago. The total is right there at around 51.5, our highest total of the week. And it's early days, Seth, but the action is split right down the middle on this one, which is great because if it stays that way, it means come Sunday night, I get to just be a fan, not an odds maker. Again, even money split at Bovada.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be just a great game. One of those games, fourth quarter, 10 minutes left. I don't want to know who the winner is. I want to I want to be gripped. And remember, that's the Sunday night game. My whole contention about Sunday night football is I just watched 7 hours of football. And I'm going to watch more football, and it has to hook me. And this game will hook me. That game will do everything else. Some mediocre matchups in this week 7 in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills travel to New England. Now, in the past, that would be a big thing. This Patriots team is not just bad. They're brutal. And Josh Allen probably needs a game like this, but is it a trap game? Do you think there's a chance that Buffalo comes in and doesn't wipe the floor with New England?
So, Seth, I don't know if I really believe in trap games per se, but I think for sure that the Buffalo Bills, they have some weaknesses. And I think that was bizarrely exposed by the New York Giants of all teams this past Sunday night. I mean, the Bills were so frustrated offensively that's a home game. They're 15-point favorites. The Giants has not shown much of a pulse at all on defense this year, and the Bills were absolutely frustrated from start to finish. Couldn't figure it. They almost lost to Tyrod Taylor at home. Insane. Good for Tyrod Taylor for keeping it close. He overthrew a little bit on that last play of the game. But, I don't know that this is so much a trap, but it is tricky to make this game because, the Patriots, I think so much of the luster that we previously had for Bill Belichick is fading and fading and fading to the point where you can reasonably say that this might be his last year coaching the Patriots. So having said all of that, I know I'm skeptical about the Bills. I'm pointing out their warts. They are 8.5-point favorites right now at Bovada, and they are the biggest bet side of the week right now.
College football seems like you have one marquee matchup every week. The Penn State Nittany Lions travel to Ohio State. This is what the Super Conference is about. This is why the Big Ten is just like the SEC in terms of star power. You have the Nittany Lions going into Columbus to take on the Buckeyes.
Yeah, Seth, this is a game that's been on a lot of calendars marked up before the season started. And here we are fortunate enough that both teams are coming into this game undefeated. This could be a de facto play-in game for the playoff. Not for the playoffs, but this is a loss and you're potentially on the outside sitting in. I mean, that Big Ten East division with Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State all undefeated right now. Only one of them can make it to the conference championship game. So whoever comes out the other side of this one will take a big step forward in potentially securing their postseason success. Looking at the actual odds, Seth, Ohio State is currently a 3.5 point favorite in this one. And the over-under is sitting a little bit low for an Ohio State game at 47.5. And I think part of that has been the inconsistency of the Ohio State offense this year. They've got Marvin Harrison Jr. They've returned a lot of other great players, but they haven't been able to consistently put it together. So I think if you're Penn State, and there's a reason why 70% of all bettors at Bovada are backing them right now, there's a reason why Penn State's getting that love. I think this is their best chance they've had in years.
You know, that game is not the only big matchup. Tennessee-Alabama is a good one. It's weird to see Alabama ranked not in the top 10. It's weird.
Yeah, and you know, Alabama's gotten their traditional early season loss out of the way, but this is it now, and this is it for both of these teams, Seth. You know, Tennessee and Alabama both come into this game with one loss, and a two-loss SEC team is just not making it to the national championship this year, barring a whole lot of chaos coming later, but we generally have not seen that to be the case. Georgia is still undefeated in the SEC, so Alabama, I think, has to win this game if they want a national playoff berth. And Tennessee, if they want any hope of it at all, they'll have a lot more trouble down the road. So I know that this is great. I mean, you talked about every week we've got a big game or two in college football. And I mean, that's why we're blessed to have 60 games or so every Saturday.
Last week, at least one or two. That Washington matter, right? Oregon game was great.
Met the hype, right? Totally met the hype.
That game was fantastic.
I mean, that Washington-Oregon game was so good, lived up to the hype, and we now have a new Heisman favorite at Bovada, as Michael Penix Jr. is minus 150 outright to win the Heisman Award. You know, I've got to say, as much as the Colorado story has been fun, it's been nice to put the Shedeur Sanders behind us a little bit. He was a $500,000 liability for us, so Penix is good. Dylan Gabriel of Oklahoma, we talked about him after they knocked off Texas. He's all the way down from 9-1. He's down to 9-1 now, when he was about 100-1 a couple weeks back. So it goes to show you that things can move quick in college football, and a standout and surprise performance from a team that otherwise is maybe under the radar can really move these numbers. So I'm really looking forward to this Saturday.
It's fun to see the city of Seattle just jump on board for a team there. Final year of the Pac-12 the way we know it. And they just seem to dominate right now. And rooting for him. It's a lot of fun. One of my closest friends does the pre and post game for the Washington Huskies. And he lives and breathes this stuff. It was really funny because for iHeart, I had to do a Seattle report. And one of their receivers did very well. And, you know, I'm a stickler for pronunciations. So what I do is I Google and I try to find highlights of that player. You know, so the announcer says the name correctly, Rome Odunze. And what I got was a YouTube video. What I got was a YouTube video where he goes, "My name is Odunze, not Odunze, not Odunze." That's a he went off. I was like, "Stop yelling at me, Odunze!"
Oh my gosh! I don't know. I still get, that's Odunze. I don't know. You're the pronunciation expert, though, so I'm not going to fact check you.
For the At Odds podcast, I am.
That's good enough.
It's good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What a week. What a week. And then what'd you say? NBA starts next week?
NBA starts next Tuesday. English Premier League is back this weekend. I just read that the VAR officials who screwed Liverpool against Tottenham, they've been cleared to return to work, so they're back in action. I hope they're not working Liverpool's game this weekend, but we got Merseyside Derby, as Liverpool is scheduled to give Everton their annual pounding, so hopefully that goes off without a hitch. But I don't like the international break that much. It's too much of it.
There's so many of them.
Once the Premier League's going, and once the German, Spanish, and French leagues are going, like I just want to focus on that. And I think I know the coaches of these teams, the managers of these teams, they have the same concerns that pro NHL teams have with the international breaks as well. Like, oh God, someone's just going to get injured. Like, they don't enjoy the games either. And like I know they're matter. I know there's qualification attached to it, but it's just, I don't know. Once Liverpool's playing, like I want to see them play every week. I can't get enough of that content, even when they're bad. Which this year they look to be a little bit better, but Merseyside Derby this Saturday. So that's going to be a long day for me.
It was a scary moment in the international break, the game between Belgium and Sweden. They canceled it after halftime. There was a shooting outside the stadium. Two people were killed, and they thought it might have been a terror situation, and they feared for people's safety, and they said, everybody get out of here, and they stopped the game. I'm sure they're going to make it up in some way, because it is a European championship qualifier, and the Euros are very important. But what happens to the sports book? Because I would imagine Bovada had odds on Belgium, Sweden. That's a big enough game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as much as I was just griping about, you know, the international breaks breaking up my fan viewing of Liverpool. Yeah, these are meaningful games to the countries participating in as they're trying to, you know, secure their spots in the next big international tournament. So I'm from a betting standpoint, and yeah, shoot, this guy went on like he was driving around Brussels for like 5 hours shooting people indiscriminately. It was chaos. So yeah, they kept the players in the stadium. They kept the fans in the stadium. They eventually decided to abandon the event. And when a soccer game is abandoned like that, all markets that otherwise have not been decided. So let's say we had a first goal scorer prop and a guy had scored early in the first half prior to this happening. We would have counted that and graded that from a win-loss point of view. But everything else regarding to who's winning the game, by how many goals, how many total goals are scored, and just anything at all that hasn't been resolved yet, that's just a simple void for us at Bovada. And the next time those two teams get together and play, that'll just be a brand new set of odds. But nothing carries over to the next game. It's just immediately resolved on the day itself. So and hopefully they can reschedule that sooner rather than later. And you know, sincere thoughts to everyone affected by that. It's certainly been a rough week in the world when it comes to stuff like this.
Been absolutely tragic. What's going on? But that's why there's sports. That's why there's sports books. That's why it's fun to watch sports. And we will do just that. For Patrick, I'm Seth. Enjoy the At Odds podcast. We'll see you next week.
So long, folks.